1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The winner of the billion-dollar Powerball jackpot drawing last night hasn't come forward yet, but the owner of the small store in downtown Los Angeles that sold the ticket is known, and he's a big winner, says the California Lottery's Carolyn Becker.
We want to present a bonus check of $1 million to Las Palmitas Market. That's the bonus. They win.
The store owner told KNX Radio's John Baird that he's going to plow the money back into his store.
I don't know. I put it in my package.
Vacation?
Vacation. No. I have to make more business.
Just so hot this week.
That's Maurice Wright in Tempe, Arizona, where temperatures are dangerously hot. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Phoenix. Same story.
The biggest concern right now is what's known as heat stroke. It can be deadly. It's when your body temperature exceeds 103 degrees. Symptoms include nausea, in worst cases, confusion and loss of consciousness. Officials are saying if you experience any of those symptoms, to call 911 immediately.
It's been a miserable couple of days in western Kentucky after more than a foot of rain fell, setting a 24-hour rainfall record in the state. This woman saw a house destroyed in Mayfield, a small town in Carlisle County.
There's a piece of somebody's house floating away. God love them.
A federal grand jury in Washington may be considering whether to indict former President Trump, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The grand jury investigating January 6th is still meeting. They could return to this courthouse with a potential indictment of former President Trump looming.
An American soldier remains in North Korean custody, says CBS News Pentagon correspondent Cammy McCormick.
Travis King has now been listed officially as AWOL, which automatically happens when a soldier fails to report for duty for 48 hours. He does not have active security clearance. He disappeared from an airport in Seoul, where he was supposed to be on a flight, to Fort Bliss, Texas. He then joined a tour of the DMZ and bolted across the Korean border to the north. The White House says it's reached out via multiple channels to North Korean officials.
Police in Alabama say they now doubt the claim of a 25-year-old woman that she was kidnapped from the side of an interstate after calling 911 to report seeing a child alone there. Hoover Police Chief Nick Dursis says detectives are still investigating where Carly Russell was and what happened to her between the time she went missing Thursday until she returned home 2 days later. At this hour, the Dow is up almost 200 points. The big story in the market, NASDAQ down almost 2%. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Mornings were made for better things than rheumatoid arthritis or RA. Xeljanz tofacitinib is a pill for adults with moderate to severe RA when tumor necrosis factor blockers did not work well or could not be tolerated. Xeljanz can help relieve joint pain, swelling, and help stop further joint damage. Xeljanz can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Before and during treatment, your doctor should check for infections like TB and do blood tests. Serious, sometimes fatal infections, cancers including lymphoma and lung, blood clots, serious heart-related events, tears in the stomach or intestines, and allergic reactions have happened. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors have an increased risk of death. Tell your doctor if you've had hepatitis B or C, have flu-like symptoms, are prone to infections, or have ever had a heart attack, stroke, clot, or other heart problems, or swelling of lips, tongue, throat, or hives. Ask your doctor about prescription Xeljanz. Visit Xeljanz.com or call 1-844-Xeljanz.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Wood County Unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association will meet on Friday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at St. Joseph's Chapel Hall in Vesper. Governor Tony Evers will be one of the speakers tomorrow at the 104th Annual Department Convention of the American Legion Department of Wisconsin. The event is taking place at the Central Wisconsin Convention and Expo Center in Rothschild through July 23rd. They're holding their annual blood drive from 9 to 2 tomorrow. You can register at wilegion.org. While donating, take a selfie and post it on our website, civicmedia.us/giveblood, to be entered to win Brewers or State Fair tickets, among other prizes. See the full schedule of events for the convention at wilegion.org. Don't miss the Rafters taking on the Battle Jacks at Witter Field tonight. They start the first of a two-game series in Wisconsin Rapids. First pitch at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 51 tonight under mainly clear skies, northerly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, highs level off around 82, mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to talk with our friend Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now, in studio, more good friends of ours. We have Lisa Kubis. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, James.
And Jillian Alekena.
You're getting closer. I'm getting every closer. Time.
That time, I got to be honest with you, Jillian. That time I was having fun with it because I knew I wasn't going to get it right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I do appreciate you being here, Jillian. It's always good to see you. Thanks
good
a lot for being here
too.
As well, Lisa.
Thank you.
So we want to send a big thank you, of course, to our friends at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for sponsoring the segment. Always appreciate them being a part of things here. And appreciate you two coming in studio all the time. I love being able to have people in studio. I think it makes a much better interview. And you guys could call in. We'd understand. You're coming in from Rome and everything. But thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always nice to be here in person.
I don't want to waste any time because we have a billion things to talk about here. So I just want to get out of the way and let you guys go ahead and kick things off. And it looks like we're kicking things off with this Thursday, today, literally.
Yeah, so this Thursday, and actually every Monday and Thursday, Sand Valley has started something new out at their complex. They will have live music at the Green Fire Barbecue, which is actually also their new, pretty casual restaurant. That's near their main clubhouse. So come out and try the new restaurant. Again, live music every Monday and Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m.
I've seen a couple of bands over at Sand Valley. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great place to catch some music. And the outside atmosphere of it is, of course, nice this time of year. And anything, I think you had a lot of our listeners at Sand Valley. Like, as soon as you said that, people were very like, okay, I'll do this, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a fun event. More great live music coming up as well.
Yeah, and I mean, this has been a mainstay in Rome for many, many years, but live music at Lake Arrowhead, Tunes on the Turn, so they're great talent out on their beautiful outdoor patio. So that's every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m.
Another place I've seen some live music at, and also great acoustics, great area to see and to have. We love promoting our farmers markets, and we've got, of course, our friends over at the Rome Farmers Market coming up every Friday, it looks like.
Yeah, every Friday through end of September is the Rome Farmers Market, running from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and I feel like I say this every time I'm on here. It's just a great, well-rounded market. Mm-hmm. Just even if you don't go there to buy something, it's just fun to walk around and see all these booths or see all these people.
It's interesting. I heard from a listener just this week that likes to do that. Mm-hmm. She works over at the Boys and Girls Club sometimes and stuff, and she likes going to the Rapids Farmers Market, but also the one in Rome, in part because sometimes there's things at one, that, and another, and you just don't know unless you go. And her mind was, well, and it's, I always have a good time, even if I don't buy anything.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come out and have lunch. There's, again, live music through the whole market.
Well, and any opportunity to support our ag industry, our vendors that work so hard on this and such, it's always a good place. Always a good idea. Mm-hmm. Going on this Friday as well, this one sounds pretty interesting. Draft Sunset Hike.
Yeah, so Draft is our local hiking and biking club, and they have a schedule of some really cool events this summer. So this Friday, there is a sunset hike at the Wisconsin River Power Company Trail, which, if the listeners are unfamiliar, that is the trail on the Lake Peyton Well shoreline.
Yeah, yeah.
So just a beautiful stretch of beach. So if you'd like to come and join the hike, meet up at the Apache Lane parking lot, which is just south of the Ore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Boy, any chance to get outside, we're taking it. And something like this is such a fun event. I know how many hikers we have out there. That's going to be a really nice event.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds very interesting and like one of the funnest, most interesting events I've ever heard of in my life. This next one coming up. Tell me about this whole Hoozle's second annual Rise to Music thing. Sounds like a fascinating idea.
Yeah, I know, right?
Two on the nose? Was I two on the nose? Oh, that was we love this one.
Yeah. So normally, Hoozles will have their annual Rise to Music running weekly, I believe. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me.
Yeah, that's
June
the first
through July.
One was.
But yeah. This time, they decided to change it up a little. And instead of having it weekly, on Thursday, July 27th from 5:30 to 10, they will have their six contestants compete all in one night.
Mm-hmm.
The fans actually help determine the winner,
mm-hmm.
and using the website voxvote.com, the audience, along with their celebrity guest judge, Derek Jones,
mm-hmm.
will vote for their favorite performance. And then the musician who gets the most votes at the end of the night will be crowned the second annual Hoozle's Rise to Music champion.
We're very, very excited about this. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it almost every day. We're looking forward to this. A big shout out to Derek Jones being a part of this. And, of course, you out there. We can't do this without you. We need you there to vote. We need you there to help these musicians continue to chase down their dream. The first place prize is incredible. There's a lot of great parts of it. We're going to bring the top three acts onto our morning show on WFHR and on WIRI. I'm going to invite them on Director's Cut. Really, anywhere they want to be, they'll be able to show up.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great prizes. I encourage you to check out hoozlesrisetomusic.com or their Facebook page for more information. But one of the coolest things to me about this event is the winner will have a year-paid residency at Hoozles at the Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to any artist, any musician, one of the biggest things they're looking for is, where's my next gig? Where am I going to be performing next? You tell me for a year I get to perform, and at that location with that, you know, whew, that's a nice deal right there.
Yeah.
Big shout out to everybody a part of this one. It's going to be a really fun event. We will meet you there next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing a live broadcast, too, from there, too. So we're looking forward to that. Saturday, July 29th, comedy show? Is
yes.
that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, comedy show. That'll be at Lake Sherwood Lodge from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Featuring Kevin, sorry, Kevin, if I butcher your name,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Kahak mm-hmm. and Mike Marvel, who both have been seen / heard on Showtime, Pandora, Spotify, The Bob and Tom Show,
mm-hmm.
so on, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are $10 and can be purchased at Lake Sherwood Lodge or Bar. So you can either stop on in or call 715-325-2636 for more info.
And if you need that phone number again, I'm sure you can reach out to our friends at Visit Rome and they'll get that to you.
Mm-hmm.
These are two like really good comedians who tour the whole country doing this.
Yeah.
There is nowhere in the country you can get that show for $10. Like that, there's no way. Those are two high profile comedians who can charge a good paycheck. I guarantee you that $10 is because them and the good people at Lake Sherwood wanted it to be affordable for people. Because they could easily charge more than that. And the fact that they're not is telling you that they, along with the talent, decided, hey, we want people to be able to come to this. We want people to laugh, have a good time. A shout out to all of them for that. That's going to be a really good night. August 4th got a real special one coming up.
Yeah, this one is really, really special. So the Art Stevenson and Highwater, which is a bluegrass, awesome bluegrass band, is playing at the Alex C. Dove Memorial Concert. So that's scheduled for August 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. in the Rome Town Center Park. No guarantees, but we're really working hard to have this be the first concert at the new Rome Band Shell.
Ooh. I didn't want to bring it up. I was going to ask off air. I wasn't going
to
bring it up.
I'm probably not supposed to say this, but the contractors are working hard to get it done.
Shout out to them. So
this can be the first concert.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our friends from Up North Brewing Company will be unveiling some of their their beer there.
Ooh, nice.
That is going to be our new microbrewery in Rome.
Very cool.
They don't open till September, but they're going to be previewing some of their beers at the concert.
Yeah.
Also, there will be raffles, food trucks, mm-hmm. other beverages. Mm-hmm. So, grab your lawn chairs and blankets and come out and enjoy the wonderful concert for really a wonderful cause.
We have such a great, amazing area that loves supporting and does support so many of these kind of organizations. And we here and you out there understand how important the Alex C. Dove Foundation is and the great work that they've done with that. Going into this concert, this is one of the things that I think we do better than most in this area. We want to raise some funds. We want to raise some awareness for something. But we also want to have a good time while we're doing it. We could do both. We could do both. We have plenty of evidence of that. And this event is going to be another one of those ones where we're raising attention to these great people, the work that they're doing, and the great foundation that they have, helping people that we may not even know yet who are going to be able to use that house and everything.
Yep. Yep.
And having a good time while we're at it. That's the Midwest way, baby. That's how we do it. Right? Yeah. It's going to be a very, very fun event. Looking forward to that one. Saturday, August 5th. I can't believe we're already talking about August.
Yeah.
What happened to July? Has anybody seen July? What happened to it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
August 5th, we have guided bike tours coming up.
Yeah, so at Sandhill Wildlife Area, there will be about a 10-mile bike ride through the area. So if you've ever been there and you kind of wanted to take your time and see it at a slower pace, this is definitely an event you want to go to. Sandhill's own natural resources educator, Quinn Brownell, will be leading it. This is his word, or their words, not mine, a semi-challenging bike ride because of the length. So definitely bring your bike, sunscreen, water, snacks. Don't get dehydrated.
Yes.
The class is limited to 20 participants, and pre-registration is required before August 2nd, along with a $5 registration fee.
This is a great event. Now, Quinn really knows what they're talking about, and that's great to have there as well. The guided bike tour is something a little different. I don't think that we see that very often.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those things that people can really get into and have an enjoy with. And we know, especially if you got the Visit Rome newsletter, which I encourage everybody to sign up for. I have. I just received it, I think, just in the last bit of time here, actually, which is always funny to me when I get it when you guys are here with me. Mm-hmm. I love when that happens.
Yeah.
But we know Rome is one of the homes in Wisconsin for motorsports and for biking and all this. I encourage you to check this out and mark the date, Saturday, August 5th. On that same day, draft bike ride. Got that coming up.
Yeah, in the afternoon of August 5th from 2 to 4 p.m., again, Draft is our local hiking and biking club. They've organized a casual, it's a 14-mile bike ride from Nakusa to Bee's Tap House in Wisconsin Rapids. So if you're interested in that bike ride, meet at the Sacred Heart Church of Nakusa at 2 p.m. And again, the trip will be to Bee's Tap House, probably for a refreshment and a snack, mm-hmm. and then make their way back to Nakusa.
I don't know if they worked it out this way or not, but I happen to notice these are both bike-involved events on the same day, but one ends at 1, the other one kicks up at 2. Whether they designed it that way or not, I love that it worked out that way.
Sure.
That is pretty cool. And maybe your Saturday is busy in the morning and you have time in the afternoon or vice versa or what have you, so you can take in both of these events because they're both great and both helping support some really important stuff.
Yeah.
Tuesday, August 8th, Gather by the Gazebo, one of our favorite events in Rome.
So the third and final one of this summer, at least, will be kicking off, like you said, Tuesday, August 8th, mm-hmm. from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. That's presented by our friends at Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your lawn chair or blanket and just enjoy some live music in the park.
Yeah.
Food will be available to purchase from Chatterbox Catering. Mm. Sometimes some of their season sponsors are out there too. Mm. So like Coldwell Banker, Advantage Realtor, Rome Away From Home Vacation Lodges, Key Savings Bank. So Rome is kind of a home for live music, and this is definitely no exception.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the event, the only issue I have with Gather by the Gazebo is that we have not figured out how to do it in the winter. We probably won't, but I want more of these. I love this event, and I know I'm not alone. I got a lot of friends in the Rome area and the Coosa area that come out for it and everything. We want you to meet us there, and if you haven't been to an event, don't take my word for it. Come on down to the event and see what's so much fun about it, because you are going to have a good time. And we want to send it off on a good note, since it's the final one of the season, so be sure to mark your calendar for August 8th on that. Yeah. Sunday, August 13th. Oh, do I see something with dogs?
Yes.
Oh, you guys, we should have led with this. We should have started the whole show with this. This is another one of those fun events coming up at Hoozles.
Yeah, so from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., we'll be bringing your dog to the patio bar at Hoozles at the Lakes. There is a $10 fee, but that also includes a little doggy gift bag, so you're not going home empty-handed. Mm-hmm. There will also be pup cups for sale, a 50-50 raffle. There will be live music also going on during that time period. While you have dogs on your mind, we encourage you to consider a donation to the Humane Society. So that can be bleach, dog treats, cat, dog food, Kleenex paper towel, or just monetary donations.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
It really does. We have Madison Rafter from the Humane Society on once a week to talk with our Pet of the Week, and there's always something that they could use over there, and every little bit that you do that helps, it frees them up in the time-wise and be able to do other things for our furry friends. Nice job. Sunday, August 20th, Roman Fest. I skipped some. I almost skipped something very important, you guys. Cookies. If the dogs didn't get me cookies, sure would have. Wednesday, August 16th, cookie decorating at Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, so that'll be presented by Blue House Cakery, running from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The owner, Kelly Lawler, will be teaching the basics of cookie decorating while also taking you through step-by-step instructions of decorating those cookies. So she's not going to leave you floundering. You don't have to figure it out by yourself. Yeah. The class purchase also comes with a free drink ticket as well. Mm. To learn more, buy tickets, go to the Blue House Cakery website. And each student will be provided with everything they need to decorate, so you don't have to go out and buy all these fancy icing tips or an apron, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank goodness. I don't even know where to find an apron nowadays. I don't even know where you find one.
And then if you would like additional practice at home or you want to just keep on decorating cookies, you can add on a take-home kit. So that kit will include everything from the class, including instructions.
Oh, wonderful idea.
So, yeah, kind of continue the event, but at home.
When is the last time you heard somebody say, you know, cookies? I don't like those. Like, everybody likes cookies.
Yeah.
This is a great one. And I think that there another fun part of this, too, is, and it's something that, this is not me, this is my mother. My mom was one of those that loves to bake cookies every Christmas and loves to hand them out and give them out and everything. Maybe if you're somebody that's always wanted to do that, taking a class like this might help you be able to do more of that. I love cooking, but I am horrible at baking. I don't know what it is. I can make you guys pasta right now that I think you'd enjoy. But you give me 12 years to make one cookie, and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to work out. Going to somebody like Kelly and to a great company like this, you're really going to have a patient, hands-on kind of like approach to, hey, you know, this is what you're doing wrong, James. This is you're too hungry. You're trying to eat too fast. You got to let the cookie actually bake. That's probably my problem. I don't let them actually sit in the oven long enough or something like that. I'm sure that Kelly and the gang over there could help me with this. Mark your calendars. Wednesday, August 16th, cookie decorating at Lake Arrowhead. Our final event to talk about is coming up on Sunday, August 20th.
Yeah, so the annual Roman Fest will be happening on the 20th. Our hometown Rome players will be presenting their dinner theater, There's No Business Like Show Business.
Great name.
That will be taking place at the Lake Arrowhead Clubhouse. They have two performances, one at 11 a.m. and one at 5:30 p.m. All of their proceeds for tickets go to different organizations around the community, such as Jeremiah's Crossing, Woodland Community Quilters, Draft, which I know Lisa mentioned earlier, Leicester Public Library of Rome, and Adams County Food Bank.
Yeah.
Those tickets can be purchased either at Lake Arrowhead Association office, mail will call, or you can actually go on our Visit Rome website under our store tab and purchase the tickets there.
Mm-hmm. You know, these kind of events, I'm always a big believer in, I don't think I have to encourage people to support the arts. Most people do. And this is a fun one. It's a great way, you know, dinner theater, you don't get that everywhere, let alone, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes away from where you live to be able to go check out. But what they're doing, the Rome Town Players, and a big shout out to them for this, of doing this event and being able to raise funds, awareness for all those great causes. Every one of those are great. Every one of those deserve as much attention and pomp and circumstance as we can give to them. Nice job by them. And they're great at what they do, by the way, too. You're going to have a great show. You're going to have a good dinner, a great show. Be sure to mark your calendar for Roman Fest 2023 coming up August 20th. Going to be a great event. That's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. We have a couple minutes left, you two, and I wanted to spend some of that time because these are all great events, and you guys do such a great job promoting your area and promoting so many great businesses in the Rome area, and I thank you both for it. Appreciate the work that Visit Rome does. How can we help you guys? What can we do to help support Visit Rome? How can we promote you guys more, talk about you guys more? What can we do to celebrate the Visit Rome Bureau and what you guys do over there? We're big believers in it. And I think that one of the first things that comes to mind to me is swag, is wearing your gear. I think that's a good idea. You've got great shirts and great clothing on there. I think I encourage people to go to the website and check that out. And certainly, I think being familiar with the website, promoting that in general is also a great help. Is there anything that you guys can think of as I put you on the spot with this and throw it at you at the last second of the interview?
Well, you took my one answer.
Oh,
which,
did I?
Which was
it.
Our website.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it is just packed full of information, restaurants, from restaurants to live music to places to stay to all the events that are going on. We really, well, Jillian does just a great job at keeping that relevant and getting everything on there that's going on in Rome. So
yeah, it's Jill, do people reach out to you? Do you find yourself having to reach out to people? Is it a little bit of both as far as keeping up with all that, all this information? Every week you guys come in and every month you come in and we're jam-packed with events.
It's a bit of both. Mm. So I have some people, like, I'll just name drop Hoozles.
Yeah.
Megan has sent me an email before saying, like, hey, look at our website for all of these live music. And then if I have one wrong or if, like, one artist has changed to a different date and now they're going to be performing a Sunday rather than a Saturday, she'll email me. But nice. Then other times I have to go out and find it myself, which I don't mind. It is a little tricky sometimes.
Sure.
Because you have to look in all these secret little hiding spots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Very cool. Appreciate the work. Again, want to mention the website, visitromewi.com. Lisa was mentioning this, especially if you're not that familiar with the Rome area. Sometimes I get a little too close to these things, and I spent so much time in that area that I kind of think, well, our listeners know this already. But we got a lot of new listeners. We stream, so you could be listening to us from anywhere around the world, really. So if you are unfamiliar with the Rome area, get familiar. You're going to want to. You trust me, you're going to love the area. Find out more by going to visitromewi.com. There are so many great places to stay, places to shop. There are great places to eat. Oh, my God, there are great places to eat down there. And nothing but a good time and great atmosphere. Great view. There's not a spot in Rome you could be standing or eating in or anything that you're not going to have a beautiful view. It's just one of the prettiest parts of our state, I would say. In the Midwest, I would say. Go ahead and check out Visit Rome, visitromewi.com. As we're wrapping up, I wanted to mention a couple of these top events here real quick, just one more time. Remind everybody that every Thursday and every Monday, got live music. Live music to look forward to at Green Fire Barbecue at Sand Valley. This is Sand Valley's new restaurant, correct?
Yes,
this
is
their new one. So, yep. Go ahead and check out the new restaurant, the new digs, and you get to go to Sand Valley. Like again, yeah, it's a win-win situation.
And it's extreme. It's casual.
Yeah, you
know, it's outside and just no need to dress up.
Good to know, Lisa.
Very casual atmosphere.
I am that guy that I'm never sure, so I'll either overdress or underdress. And every time I'm sitting there eating my meal, just feeling like, you know, just thank you for mentioning that.
You don't need to put on your golf polo.
Good to know.
To eat at the barbecue. Of
course, we have live music at Lake Arrowhead as well that I wanted to mention, 5 to 8 every Thursday going on from now until for a while here. You got this going on.
Yeah.
Check that out. Tunes on the Turn. Great. One of those signature events of the area. And, of course, there's plenty more going on. One more time, check out visitromewi.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Big thank you to Coos Support, Edward State Bank, sponsoring the segment. And, of course, you too. Lisa, Jill, appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk again next month. And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nacoosa Port Edwards State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nacoosa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nacoosa Port Edwards State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nacoosa Port Edwards State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The search for a missing woman in Juneau County has extended statewide. Leah Stewart, age 43, has been missing from New Lisbon, Wisconsin since the 4th of July. She was last seen in the township of Lemonwire. Leah Stewart is white with hazel eyes and brown hair. She's 5'2" and 143 pounds. If you have any information, contact the Juneau County Sheriff's Office. Linen Kugel's Brewing Company workers in Chippewa Falls are entering the second week of their strike against Molson Coors and Linen Kugel's. Teamsters Local 662 continue the fight against the company's increasingly hardball tactics. The strike began July 10th. In response, the company has erected barriers around the Chippewa Falls Brewery and stationed security guards on the premises. The community is showing support for the Teamsters with daily horn honking as they pass the picket line. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 51 tonight under mainly clear skies, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, highs level off around 82, mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 72.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by our very good friend, Matt Lipper, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Matt, it's been a while. How you been?
Good. I'm doing well.
Good. Very good to hear.
And you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking, Matt. I got a couple of things that I want to touch on. I wanted to talk about milk with you. And just dive into that topic. And boy, just saying milk is kind of a broad topic right there. Mm-hmm. But we've seen recent articles of milk prices being, not milk prices, I'm sorry, of us having too much milk, that's part of the issue, or that milk sales have gone down, some of these things. But I have seen national stories about this. I haven't seen a ton local. I have you here. I have a local. I have a farmer. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, of how it's going here in Wisconsin with our milk. And just in general. It's a broad question, I understand, Matt, but it's a broad topic.
Well, when you said that you're hearing that there's a surplus of milk, whenever that's true, then you're going to have weak prices, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have both right now. And it really happened pretty suddenly. The year started out with, last year, let's do that, was an exceptional year. And we have a expectation of, it's not a perfect rhythm, but kind of a three-year cycle, high to low, back to high. Mm. So we are expecting this year to be that poor year. But boy, it hit us real suddenly. It happened since May. We're looking at certainly prices that are less than the great majority of producers can produce it for. Mm-hmm. And it's a little unexpected, so you couldn't hardly plan for it. Why do we have this surplus? I think last year it was 17% of the milk in the country got exported outside of the country. And I know we've talked of this before, that's a growing, increasing number. And so if you go back 25 years ago, it was like 3%. Mm-hmm. So there's some weakness. That's probably the biggest problem, is that our exports aren't doing as well right now. And it's like, well, is China getting along with the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Does China need the milk? They use some milk products, some milk byproducts to feed pigs. Can they buy things from New Zealand or Europe better? And they have been able to. But now that one's changing, because that's related a lot to, we have this depressed price now, so our own struggle is making us more appealing with lower price.
Huh.
But then also the U.S. dollar, the exchange rate, has been one of our worst enemies. It's been really strong pretty consistently. But right now, I guess we hear the Fed is raising interest rates. Well, apparently, there's Bank of England, other economies that are being managed are raising interest rates more. And so that means that that makes the dollar a little weaker, because people can get greater returns in other countries. Mm-hmm. So with our depressed price and our weakened dollar exchange rate, it hasn't helped us yet, but it's looking like hopefully demand will build a little bit more. But in general, you could blame Ukraine. I don't know what all you could. The world economy is kind of shaky.
Yeah.
So, they talk about depression, recession, not quite recession, but some of the less affluent purchasers of our milk supplies have been struggling to, they haven't been buying as much. So there's one, is that we have a weakened international demand. And that's probably the biggest one. But you asked for a local effect. And I think you've heard some of this, that fluid milk, which is no longer, most milk we make, especially here in Wisconsin, nearly 85 to 90% of the milk we produce in Wisconsin is made into some type of cheese.
Mm-hmm. Is that what fluid milk is, Matt? Milk that can be turned into other products?
So when we call it fluid, it means it hasn't been, right?
Okay.
So
city boy over here, sorry.
I'm trying to think how I said it that you generated the question, right? Yeah. So obviously it's all milk.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wisconsin, 85% of that milk gets made into cheese.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then there's still a little bit that's got to be made into ice cream and other soft products and butter. So in Wisconsin, not much of it goes into, we call it the bottle, but the, whatever you want to call it, fluid milk. Okay?
Gotcha. I got you.
All right. So that has been struggling across the whole country. And, we have producer-funded advertising campaigns. You remember the milk mustache thing?
Yeah.
So, they're well-recognized, but they have not succeeded in convincing people to drink as much milk as they used to. And if you go into the dairy case, as we call it, there's oat milk, almond milk.
All kinds.
There's a lot of alternatives. And so even if they all take a little bit, it competes. Another one I've learned about is Americans are getting older. As a group, the average age is going up. And younger people drink more milk. Older people don't drink as much milk. So we've got a bunch of factors there. But another one is that our distribution system, we got kind of near monopolies happening in the bottling of milk. And in the upper Midwest, this Chicago, Minneapolis territories in between, we actually have had too many. I mean, you don't think about it probably, but there's been too many instances of bare shelves. That you go to the dairy case and the milk that you want isn't there. And it's because of shortage of bottling capacity. And so you put all those together. People are getting older. People have more alternatives. Maybe we haven't advertised successfully. But then on top of that, that now and then the shelf is bare. And we've really had a crash in fluid milk. And so then if it's not made into fluid milk, then it means we need to make more cheese and butter, and so, and we don't export fluid milk, hardly at all. We export these other products. So the whole collision of all those things is that there's a bit too much milk around.
When it comes to one of the things when this topic comes up is seeing whether it's on the news or reading articles about some farmers having to dump milk. One of the things that I've seen recently is there's at least one farm that I can think of that is refusing to do that, has told their farmers that they are not going to ask them to do that. They're going to figure something else out. I thought it was interesting, but I would have liked to have seen the article go on to what else you can do in this situation. Now, Wisconsin is number two in the nation in milk production. It is a big deal here. It is important here, and I don't like bringing these things up to like freak people out or anything. I want to actually do the exact opposite. I think I read something like, "Oh, farmers are dumping milk," and I don't read the rest of that article. I'm sitting here thinking a panic. We can actually calm a lot of that right now and tell people how things are actually happening and what is actually going on. The sky is not necessarily falling, but I do find it interesting about the some farms be dumping, some not, and having to make that call. It seems like one of the tougher decisions to have to make as a farmer. It feels like it's the opposite of what you do as a farmer, and I can't imagine being put in that position.
So, you know, there's only a small percent of farmers that also direct market to consumers. We have some instances here in Wood County. Weber's has in Marshfield has bottled milk that they milk the cows, and you can go to their drive-up window or walk in their store, and you can get their milk. But the greatest majority of milk, farmers are kind of wholesalers. They sell, and they expect their co-op or their private cheese plant to do that for them. So the decision to dump the milk actually happens at that processing level.
Oh.
The farmer is still getting paid for their milk. Obviously, the more milk you dump, the poorer that they can get. But that loss of dumping milk gets spread out across all the patrons of that business, basically. So what's the problem at that business? Now, why are they so overwhelmed? Some of it is, I think we're going to hear about this as I'm graying and balding and part of this generation that's starting to exit the workforce a little bit. We're facing real chronic labor shortages. So even if you have the factory or you have the semi to move the milk, there are shortages of workers.
Yeah.
So, some of it's, something broke down in the factory, or Memorial Day or Labor Day or 4th of July happened and things back up. But the thing that's more chronic is a shortage of workers, you know, that there's not a driver to get the truck where it needs to be, or there's not someone to help with the vat to make the cheese. And so those problems are occurring more so, and our milk goes to a co-op, and if they're not as profitable as they predicted or whatever, then they have a meeting and they tell everyone about their hardships, about why it is. And one of the things they're pointing to a lot is difficulty of labor, mm-hmm. you know, and certainly that's good for laborers because we see we see wages improving.
Right. Yeah.
But it's tough in and it happens on the farm too. A lot of these cows are not getting milked by family members; they're getting milked by hired labor. So we've talked about robotics a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's just a huge and you can mechanize, roboticize things in factories as mm-hmm. well. There's just a huge incentive to do that more and more. It's not an anti-labor movement. It's there is no labor.
Right. It's a necessity.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How is the industry trying to approach this and encourage new farmers or families to continue the family farm?
Well, government is one of the actors in protecting the family farm because we hear these statistics in Wisconsin. Oh, we probably lose a farm a day, you know, so 300 to 400 farms a year. If it's a difficult year, as this year is shaping up to be, maybe that number will be higher. and we're, I just had quite a discussion with a producer yesterday. He's talking about, so the remaining farms have been keeping on getting bigger and bigger. Mm. And so we're not milking, and the remaining cows on those bigger farms are milking more and more per cow.
Mm.
So we're retiring people, we're retiring cows, but we still are increasing production.
Hmm.
So a lot of people are concerned that bigger farms is, you know, there's a lot of nice things about bigger farms. I think people forget about that. But it's different, so there's negatives as well. And people talk about some idealized, because we can't go back.
But, yeah.
Encouraging, maintaining, promoting smaller farms. Farm bill is supposed to be a 2023 farm bill.
Right.
I just read an article that said the 2023 farm bill probably won't be passed in 2023.
I read the same article. I hear you. It was so frustrating. Yeah. I'm halfway through the article and I'm already frustrated. I hear you.
But, you know, what is a farm bill? Well, it happens every 5 years. And actually, the last few times, it's been almost kind of timely. But it can happen a year late. Mm-hmm. We know we have divided Congress. Farm bill encourages things in agriculture, conservation practices, subsidize. You know, you hear about subsidy. The subsidy is typically currently of insurance. So we're having a drought right now.
Mm-hmm.
So a farmer, one of their tools to survive that would be to have good insurance to protect them from the drought. Well, the government puts money into the insurance system so that the insurance doesn't, the premiums aren't entirely covered by what the farmer puts in, that the government subsidizes. So you hear about subsidy. That's actually probably one of the larger areas of subsidy anymore. So you still have to be intelligent enough to buy the insurance, right? So, okay, back to your question. Some programs in the government, there's a very nice program called dairy margin coverage. So right now we got this thing where because of the drought, feed prices look like they might be inching up a little bit. But we have a surplus of milk, so milk prices are decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
That margin between what it costs to feed a cow and what you get for the milk, there's a program that isn't going to make anybody wealthy, but it'll kick in when that margin gets too weak.
Mm. Oh, and that's intelligent. That's smart. Huh.
And it's if you're milking 10,000 cows in Texas, it only covers about 200 of those cows.
Mm.
But if you're a smaller farmer in Wisconsin and you milk 50 cows, it'll cover all of your milk.
Mm.
So that is a institutional government thing where we're trying to protect and encourage smaller farms.
You mentioned an important sentence earlier about how we can't go back. But could you see this being where we come around on another side of this within the next couple of years, maybe even the next decade, where we have some of these farms brought back or some new farms come about? We see trends all the time in the workforce, and we have seen this before. It was in the 70s when this happened, but we had a dip in farming in the 50s, 60s. All of a sudden, 70s happened, and there was a rise in it. And that kind of stayed pretty steady for a couple decades, really, there. So it's not far-fetched to think that this could come back around.
I'll give you a non-agricultural example. We've outsourced typically to China, but before China, it was Japan. We've been complaining, and it's Taiwan, and now it's Vietnam. Mm-hmm. All this outsourcing out of our clothing, our electronics, our cars, we outsource that all. Well, then we had the pandemic, and the ports got blocked up because the workers couldn't load and unload the ships. And then it's like, well, we developed and promoted all this exchange with China, but now they're not acting real friendly. Mm-hmm. And why do we want to have all of our computer chips outsourced to China?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, in this country, there is a huge interest in it, in reversing some of that trend.
Mm-hmm.
More domestic, at least some components.
Yeah.
So it
yeah.
is not. So that trend I talked about happened for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three or four, your or my lifetime, it yeah, was happening yeah. that whole time. So now it's, again, we're not going to go back. We're going to have world trade, but it seems like we're changing it.
Yeah.
And you hear about supply lines and so forth and not being completely dependent on one source.
Right.
And
right.
So things like that can change. So there, if you took my comment to say we can't go back, you could say dairy farms are going to get ever larger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true. But I don't think they're going to be as small as they once were.
Sure, sure. Speaking with Matt Lipper, ag agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Matt, I've got one other thing I wanted to bring up, but I always like asking you, as an actual farmer, as somebody who is in the industry and everything, what are the biggest headlines to you in coming from the industry right now, especially stuff that our local listeners, longtime listeners, they may not know. They may not understand. No,
well, about. We've touched on some of it already. So we as educators, in the summer, farmers are out doing their cropping stuff and people are taking holiday. So we use the summertime. We do some programming, but we do a lot of thinking about, well, what do we need to be talking about next winter when the crops are harvested and so forth. And so the concerns in the dairy industry right now are, what are we going to feed the cows? We haven't really touched on this, but it's dry out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's probably and in Pittsville, we had half an inch last night, and 4 or 5 days before that, we had about half an inch. But if you go back to the middle of May, that still doesn't hardly get us to an inch and a half to 2 inches now.
Yeah.
So here in Rapids, where it's sandy, if you're not watering things, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavier soils, we survive those things better than most, but the entire cropping system is exhausted right now. And we have lost yield. So hay, there's first crop. We typically maybe cut it 4 times.
Mm.
And first crop was a little light. Second crop was lighter. Third crop is just starting to grow now, but it's not. So third crop's probably going to be just about non-existent. So so feed inventories, how are we going to feed cows? And then what are we going to do about this price? Those are the two things that have farmers alarmed right now.
One of my questions was about feeding farm animals and how this drought is affecting that or the future of that. When it comes to that situation, we're a couple months forward here. What do you do with that situation if we don't get the grains, the foods that we need?
Well, smaller operators like beef people, the simple, if you got 20 cows, the simple, and usually it's not your sole source of income, the simple answer is, I only have enough feed for 15 cows. I need to get rid of some cows.
Yeah.
Dairies get a little more difficult because they want to fully utilize. They have more beef cows live out in the pasture and they have the sun in the sky and maybe a windbreak. That's and the dairy cows live in barns, and they cost a lot of money. And the farmer can't just say, "Yep, I'm going to milk 2/3 the same number of cows," because the payments on those buildings continue to come in.
Yeah.
So that gets tougher. So, I mean, that's why we're concerned, really, right, is like, what are the solutions to this? So we're hoping the milk price rebounds a little bit. And it happened suddenly. It could correct suddenly. It gave you some glimmers of why it might correct, the exchange rate and things like that. And on our heavier soils, we haven't given up on this crop yet. Right. We've admitted some loss, but we still might have a corn crop, or we still might have soybeans. And we have insurance programs, which I talked about.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing, and we're talking to people, we call it inventory management. You go out to where you store your feed, and you estimate how many cubic feet of this feed stuff you have, and how many tons that converts, and how much a cow eats, and you figure out, right now today, if I'm short, what do I do? Do I get rid of cows, or do I buy something in to replace it? Is that going to be economical? If everybody in the world is doing that, it won't be economical. So we're working through those right now.
And this is another one of those situations where we're trying to make the boat on the water. You know, we can't just hit pause or anything. We give us a chance to figure this out, or give us a chance for the milk prices to go. We have to. This is life, and we have to adapt and keep moving with it. Nobody knows that better than farmers, arguably. It's just one of those things that it has to pull at your heart, some of it, for us, just non-farmers, I can imagine, in the industry. I did want to wrap up with one thing, Matt, and I've mentioned this before to you, to many of our listeners, that I'm an actor and I'm a professional. And while I'm not working currently right now, I was a little jealous, Matt. I saw you in a commercial looking dang good. I haven't been in a commercial in years. How did you get this gig? Can I get you my agent's information? You did a really nice job with that commercial. It was a really fun one. I just wanted to compliment you and your family. That was really nice to see. Thank you, as always, for the time, Matt. But as we're wrapping up, there's going to be follow-up questions. People are going to want to know more, maybe, about some of the things we've talked about. Is there a way to reach you?
Oh, well, of course there is. So Wood County Extension has a website. And I would say the easiest way is just get on your search engine and go UW Extension Wood County. And our phone numbers, our staff directory are all there. And we have a lot of links to beyond what we have at Wood County, what's at the university, as far as resources we're developing to help answer these questions.
That website, extension.wisc.edu, go ahead and go there, and you can contact any of the great people over at UW. Again, extension.wisc.edu. Matt, always look forward to the time. Looking forward to hanging out with you again real soon.
Very good.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The heat in Arizona is record-breaking. Today is the 21st consecutive day of temperatures of 110 degrees or above in Phoenix, says CBS's Naomi Ruckel.
Emergency responders carry IV fluids on ice to quickly treat patients overcome by the heat. Maricopa County confirms so far at least 18 people have died from heat-related illnesses there this year.
Extreme heat and extreme weather seem to be gripping the entire country. In southwestern Kentucky, where floodwaters inundated entire towns, recovery is underway, says the Weather Channel's Justin Michaels.
In the city of Arlington, resident Gary Carter took it upon himself to rescue stuck neighbors with his small boat.
Well, I've dealt with water here before, but it's never been this bad.
President Biden was at a shipyard in Philadelphia today talking up his economic policies and talking about two children missing in recent flooding in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Grateful for all the first responders. Continue to look for a two-year-old Maddie and her baby brother Conrad. The grace of God, maybe something will come of it.
The federal grand jury that's considering whether to indict former President Trump is meeting today, says CBS's Scott McFarland.
The CBS News reporting is today, another top Trump aide, William Russell, who worked in the Trump White House, will be among those, if not the witness, from whom the grand jury is hearing.
Maine is expanding access to abortion, joining six other states that leave it to doctors and their patients to make a decision about the procedure without restrictions on timing. Democratic Governor Janet Mills signed a bill into law that allows for an abortion at any time if a doctor says it's medically necessary.
Maine law should, must, recognize that every pregnancy, like every woman, is different, and that politicians cannot effectively legislate this very personal and very difficult decision.
After pulling out of a grain shipment agreement, Russia continues to target Ukraine's ports